enough stuff around here that we probably can do it. Will someone take the one in the back corner there? And let's see if we can get a reasonable cross from here. Now, can we take the gel off of that one down there and put it over there? That's the idea. And we can take this one and we'll bring it up in line with that one. If you got enough string, or we can use this one. All right, why don't we... Can you get up here far enough? Are you... All right, in line with that one and just cross them.
What, high?
I think so. Are you spread reasonably well so you can get the gentleman on the end too? Yeah. That's the idea. You've got to cover everybody. Now we do the same from that one. Okay. All right, now. I think that one's a spot. It looks like it. Can we spread it out a little bit? You're in the same problem I am. You can't get it to... There we are. All right, now, I have now this thing set up here, as you see, so that we are covering on one camera all of the people who are here. We have reasonably accurate distribution, and you'll notice that everybody has a key light, everybody has a backlight. Now, as the contestants turn to talk to each other, the vice presidents, just talk to each other back and forth, and don't forget the gentleman on the end here, and you talk to the president, you see. Now, as you do that, they always turn into light, which was one of our objectives. We have them modeled, we have them separated with the four lights. Now, if you had a larger panel here, you probably would want, and you were using this kind of equipment, you'd probably want two or three lights in this position here. And you'd merely set them, you would feather the lights together. Now, by feathering, let me borrow this one for a moment. Could we replace this one with that one? And just let me put this down here so I can show you what I mean. By putting these in here, we try to set the beams of these so that they don't overlap. See? So what's happening now is this one is lighting essentially the two people on this side, and the one over there is covering the president and the next two people, and this one here is covering the president and the end person. See? We try to avoid the beams of these lights overlapping. Because if you overlap, at that point you have two shadows. Now, you can readily do that by fiddling around with the barn doors just to be sure that they don't overlap. It's relatively easy to do. But it makes a fairly simple one. Now, I have one light in the front here, which is hanging. Let's take that out. That's 72. And now, I've just got the four-point lighting. I would always use a fill light from the front on a situation like this, possibly five-point lighting or whatever you want to call it, but have some front fill because there are some shadows in there which are not objectionable, but I think the picture filled out a little better when we had that front fill. So let's, for the moment, instead of setting up another light here, put on 72 again, and you see how the fill adds to what we're doing. Yeah, you see, it just smoothed it out. It was a lot better. Now, let's go one step further here. We have a perfectly normal situation here where we have a black gentleman next to a lady here with quite fair skin. You, of course, cheated on me, as you know. You're not wearing your white dress today. And we're required, you know, when you have anyone with black skin, that the person next to them wear a white dress and preferably be a platinum blonde. That happens all the time, don't it? There's nothing we can do about it, but that's basically what happens to us. Now, there are a number of ways we can cope with this, and this way is where we begin to get in a little trouble with our quick and dirty four-point lighting. I warned you yesterday that this was not the solution to everything. It is a quick and dirty way out, and you'll get away with it. But if you want to do a better job, to be a little bit more careful, you would have a key light hung or set up out here for each two people. Now, you'd need two key lights for these two people here. Now, we can, of course, do this without too much trouble. And we do have enough lights here, I think, to accomplish such a thing. So would somebody care to put that one? Is this one with enough string on that we can get way back there? We can try it anyway.
One of them is long enough.
Ago. I don't know which one. Take the longest one. All right. Now let's see if we can get way back there with this. Yeah. You can pull quite a lot. Still more cable here. Go ahead. All right. Now, will somebody take that one and do the same thing? I'll grab that one. Uh-huh. Would you mind moving that one? That one over there, somebody's getting it.
Whoop, right. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah. See, that's the disadvantage of this type of light. Okay. Now, has that one got enough string to get way over here somewhere?
You can probably unplug it and plug it into that box.
Now, when we're doing this, I would stay with the crossed backlight, the two in the back, because that takes care of your backlight situation remarkably easily, okay? And what we're attempting to do here is we're going to take this one that's right here, and we're going to try to use that as a key light for the two people on this end.
On the left.
Let's cross them. Let's use yours for the president and the gentleman with the gray checkered shirt on. Now, he's got one down here now, so let's take that one and light this area here, just these two people. Now, you'll notice that I did something here that might concern some people, in that I have used a key light from this direction on those two people, and I have a key light from this direction, right? Instead of the accepted practice of keys coming from the same side. What difference does it make? You didn't explain to me that there was a window over here. You didn't explain to me that that was a lamppost. I don't care. There isn't any reason for the setup of a panel at all. You know, why did you put the people in this position? We know why we put them there, but the audience won't know and couldn't care less. So it doesn't make any difference. We want a light which is effective on both of these people. Now, let's see how you are here. Are you covering here fairly clearly? You're covering here pretty good. All right. I don't seem to have a lot of light over here. What's my problem? You want to come a little bit more this way? Or, yeah, that's better. That's better. That's better. Now, if you will look at the monitor, this monitor back here is a great deal better. Looking at the monitor here, you will see that there are two things that have happened. The president and her nearest associate there, the one with the beard, who is looking for something or other here, they are pretty evenly lighted. That isn't any problem. But now we have concentrated our light a little bit here. And the black gentleman looks pretty good, but the lady with the fair skin is burning up a little bit. See? Now, you have two choices, as we mentioned yesterday. We could concentrate the light on the black gentleman, You see? Now that's not going to do anything because it's going to make him look red, which I don't want to happen. So let's see if we can't get some of the light off the lady with the fair skin. Now I have here our practical dimmer and our handy dandy pair of scissors. And let's make whatever you would call one of these, let's make it. Notice the very scientific method in which this is cut. Now, all right. I remember what we said yesterday. We were going to leave a little feathering edge when we did this sort of thing. Now let's take this one and let's sneak in. You're nice and tall, you can do that. Would you hold that in front of that light? That's it. Now find the place where you begin to block out the lady.
Right in there.
A little more. Yeah.
Right there?
All right, now. You see, yeah. At that point, you see, we brought the light down on the subject was too bright, and we left the full light on the gentleman with the black skin. Now, that means that you two are, give or take a bit, even. You look even, and there isn't a demarcation. Okay? Now, okay. Let's let you come out of the light so that you don't get toasted, and we'll just talk about this situation for a minute. When I suggested that we use the individual keys for two people at a time, this applies essentially when you do not know who is going to be in your panel. Now, if you know who is going to be in the panel and you have some idea of the type of thing people like that would wear, it's perfectly all right to just use the four-point lighting with a little fill. If you don't know and you are at the mercy of a last-minute decision of who these people are going to be, I would set up for the individual keys. All right? I think you'd be happier with the result. Okay, now, you've been looking at tapes. Time has moved on a little bit. And we've got to make a setup here, which is going to take a couple of minutes. So if you would like to break for your coffee now, and we'll make the setup, because what we're going to set up is the office of the vice president in charge of marketing. And we want to show you how to light an office. Okay? Of the office of vice president in charge of marketing. As you know, vice presidents in charge of marketing are very important members of a corporation. Those of you who are in corporate work will be readily aware that there are certain very definite criteria for offices of various executives, and they are determined by the echelon of the job and by the performance of its incumbent. Now, a vice president in charge of marketing, as you know, is permitted to have an office which is 10 feet wide and 12 feet deep. Now, as you see, we have an office which is approximately 10 feet wide, and 12 feet deep comes down to about here. We will try to do everything within that space. The vice president of marketing in this case happens to be an extremely efficient person, and for that reason, he has been given an extra bonus. His office has a window. Now, the thing that makes lighting in a small office possible is the fact that by corporate edict, all upper echelon executives of any company are allowed to have behind their desk a hutch. Now, a hutch is a little cabinet which is ordinarily 14 inches deep and ordinarily goes wall to wall. That is placed there so that the executive can have the pictures of his family in the office all day without having to look at them all the time. Now, that keeps the vice president away from the wall. You see, he can't move back against that. So we will place his chair here, approximately 14 inches away from this flat. Now, if the vice president here wishes to be able to get up from behind his handsome hand-carved mahogany desk here without sliding out of the chair and crawling out the knee hole of the desk, he needs another 6 inches, right? So that means that 14 and 6 inches here, we have him safely away from the wall by 20 inches. Now that gives us room enough to do something, okay? All right, now. Did I remember to congratulate you on your appointment as vice president in charge of marketing?
At the suit party.
Yes, you well deserve this honor.
Can so, I see my raise first?
Good. Now, we'll get you to go and sit up there at your beautiful hand-carved mahogany desk, and let's see what happens. Now, you know that I can put Tough Blue 50 in the lights that light the window. I can put Tough Blue 50 on everything else we've got here, but inasmuch as it's all going to be the same, let's not bother with the Tough Blue 50 if that's agreeable to you. Just wastes gel and takes too much time. So now we have the camera, and this is a camera that moves easily, is it not?
Sure.
Could we bring it down here and let's get it inside the 12 feet, which is about here? See, otherwise the camera's out in the hall and you'd be limited by shooting through a rather narrow doorway, so it's better to get this in. Not only that, people who are on the way to other offices would be getting in your picture, so it's better to keep them inside. Fine, now. You will notice here that the vice president has a pretty fair amount of light from the window on one side, and he's getting a fair amount of fluorescent fill from the garage lights, which are back here, ordinarily coming from a panel directly over his head, which we determined we could leave on. Oh, it's bilious enough with that. Anyway, it's going to be fine. There's no problem about it. Now, we're going to need a key light. There is no need putting the key light, of course, on that side of the camera because we got enough light coming from that direction. So we want to have our key light on this side. And remember, it must be within the office, right? Close your eyes while I put this on until I get it focused. All right, now. Now, you remember some of the rules that we talked about here in the matter of shadows? We've got to try to get that shadow of his head down to his shoulder line. And we do that by raising our light source here a little bit. Now, I have unfortunately at this point hit the ceiling of the room. I can't go up any higher, all right? So we can still increase the angle of projection by bringing the light out here a little closer in. So now we have the shadow as far as the camera is concerned at about shoulder height. If I put this light too much to the side this way, to balance the light coming in from the window, the shadow becomes dominant. So we want to try to keep that shadow behind him, which we're going to do here. You see? Fine. Now, we've got that shadow so that it is not bothersome. I think, however, that we have a little too much light on the background. So why don't we go now to Mr. Reynolds' fine lighting equipment here, and let's turn somebody loose here to make an extension to those doors.
Your other one?
Oh, we got one around we can still use. Fine, it's just the same. Saves the Reynolds Lighting Company can't make any money if you use the same thing all the time, you know. Okay, want to put that on the door? You can bring it down, you're tall enough, and you'd have to bring it down 3 feet less than I would. I always thought it would be nice to be tall like that. I could reach things on top shelves without having to get little ladders. Okay, now, would you shape that? Yeah, so it's just around the president's head there. Now, you'll notice one thing here. We have a very competent man working on this. It just takes time to get these things, you know. You can't just walk in and say this and this and this and there it is. It just takes time because you guess wrong as he did there in the position of that and you had to take the pins out and move it over a little bit. But it's not going to take long. That's the idea. That's the idea. Now you can tilt the lamp down a little bit, so we want to get it off the wall. There we are. Now that's much better. See, right away, when you get that light out from behind the head, you begin to get a little quality in your picture. In that good monitor there, you can see the one that's over there. Yeah, that one over there is the best picture. I'll tell you, some years ago, I did something or other at WTOP in Washington. And I went into the control room, and they had 21 different monitors up for tape and, you know, all the things coming in there. And they had the picture from the stage on all 21 of them. They all looked different. So I said to the technical director, how do I tell which one to look at? He said, oh, we're used to that here. He said, we just sort of average them out. So maybe you can do the same thing here, right? Now, having the shadow just below the head there and shaping that off is doing a reasonably good job, but we've got a little stray light here that we shouldn't have. Can we put out 72 and realize it was on? So let's get that out. I don't think it's going to make any profound difference, but it does help with the shadow pattern. See, having the top of the picture just shaded softly adds a great deal of quality to what we're doing. Now, I don't know whether you could get that light tilted down anymore or not. Let's see if I can reach it. If I can, let me see what happens. No, that's about all I can do there. But even that, that little bit, half a hair, I moved that thing. You see how that background pattern begins to give quality and depth to your picture, importance to your subject. Now, he's still kind of flat. So I think we need a little bit of backlight in there. So let's get busy here and see if we can put in some backlight. Now we'll take another one of these lights here. I'm going to change the big barn doors to the side. And I'm going to get these little ones out of the way momentarily. And I'm going to put this as far back as I can get in the office here on the side. Because there's no way I can get these up on the ceiling there because I don't have room enough. See, if I did hang a backlight with one of the acoustical tile ceiling hangers back there, my angle would be such that it'd be just top light. And top light is no good. It doesn't do anything. It merely comes down and reflects up. It doesn't reflect toward the camera. Now this one we can, let's light it so I can see what I'm doing. Okay. Now, you see that gave us a touch of modeling there, which isn't bad. It's a little too hot. I can, I think, maybe cheat a foot off here. Because okay, that's better. Now I've got the little modeling and highlight that I wanted. And you see the picture is beginning to have depth, just what we wanted there. But that back wall, of course, is a little bit dull this way. So let's see if there's something we can do with that. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but let's try. You don't mind if we move the flower pot down just a little bit here. Now, we've done this, would you please note, with two lights, right? And some fill from the window. Now I have bad news, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. Sales have dropped. Now, as you know, those of you who are in corporate work, you can't fire a vice president. This is just not done. So you have to do something, of course, to indicate that you are displeased about the drop in sales. So you do the only thing that is reasonable to do in a case like this. You take away the window. Would somebody turn those two off? Now, okay. Now you have a picture now, which would be not too bad, right? But it's a little dark on camera right, okay? So it doesn't really make too much sense to have both the backlight and the key light on the same side of the camera, right? So why don't we take this key light and just put it around on the other side of the camera? Okay. Now we have a pretty even picture with an interesting little highlight, a little pattern, and you've still only got two lights. Okay? It can be done. Now, if I had a third light, you know, this was really lush type thing, I would probably put it beside the camera here, tilt it straight up onto the ceiling, and let the ceiling be a little bit more diffuse fill light, like the window is doing for us, right? But this is the technique, basically, of lighting a very simple office. You've had the same experience I have, of course, that when you go into an office to interview an important executive of your company, he's so busy he never can give you time to do any setup. The only time he could possibly give you is while he runs down to the men's room, right? But did you ever notice that these tremendously busy executives like that take 3 hours for lunch? So what you do is you get your lights and you go and make your setup with a stand-in. And you mark everything with the little red dots that I showed you here that nobody notices. Then you take all this equipment out into the secretary's office. And you wait patiently until he goes to the men's room. Soon as he goes out the door, you quick run in and place the things where you've already had them marked and focused. And as he comes back from the men's room, you're ready. I've done that. Okay? Now, I thank you very much for your performance. I wouldn't worry too much if I were you. I'm sure that sales will come up presently and the board of directors will give you back your window.
Hope so.
Yes, fine. Now, good. Now, let's set up something else. Can we ask the energetic people if they would be good enough to move the hand-carved mahogany desk just over in the corner, over, let's put it right in here for the moment, so it won't be in the way if we put it right here, right up and down stage there. Incidentally, I noticed every time I have said that, but people have looked puzzled. When you are working on the stage and you are directing anybody else, or when you're directing things on a remote, it is always a good idea to have an agreement on what you're going to call things, right? Ordinarily, we take direction from a camera. We say, camera right, camera left, okay? This is fine. But when you have a performer or a talent up there, it is reversed. You see, as far as he's concerned, you're looking this way. So that's why the term stage left or stage right is so much easier, because it's his left, it's his right. Okay? Now, the term up and down stage is very valuable. Upstage is away from a camera, downstage is toward a camera. Now that comes from the old-fashioned theater. It's been an existing term for a couple hundred years. Theaters used to be built with a flat floor for the audience. And so they could see the actors over the heads of the people in front of them. The stage always slanted up rather sharply. So if you went away from the audience, you went up the hill or upstage. You came toward the audience, you came downhill or toward the audience again. So those are handy terms. And very often when someone is up on a ladder, you know, if you can say upstage, downstage, camera left, camera right, or stage left and stage right, it simplifies the time instead. No, no, the other way, to your left, no, I mean in back of you. You know what I mean? Trouble we have, it's just simple. Now, I would like to address now, if I may, the problem which we all face of people who must work against a wall. Now, there are many times when this is essential. You may have a vice president who feels that he must have graphic material nailed on the wall, right? Or he must have projected things on the wall. And in order to handle that, he must go right close to it. Now, would you agree with me that maybe we could save a lot of discussion here? If we compromise on something, would you mind considering a weatherboard? Okay? Because we all know what a weatherboard is. We all know what a meteorologist is, don't we? Sure. Now, and this is particularly good because, as you see, we just happen to have a flat here on which there's a beautifully painted map of the United States. So you can see how clearly it is outlined. You can see the Great Lakes, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, California, the coast, the demarcation. You can see those clearly, right? Very clear up there. So as long as we have that, we might as well use the whole thing. So how are we going to light this person? Now let's see what our problem is. Our objective here. We must have this person right up against the wall, because unless you have developed a meteorologist with an 8-foot arm, it's much easier to point this way, right? Now when you point, it is absolutely essential that the shadow never leads the finger, because if it leads the finger, then you are pointing two things, the shadow and the finger, and you've confused your audience. So don't do that. Now, the shadow of the meteorologist must not lead or follow the meteorologist. It should be directly behind the meteorologist. So let's see how we achieve that. Just to reward a really sterling performance earlier, I would like to ask the young lady here to be a meteorologist. What's your experience in meteorology? Do you have any idea whether or not it's going to rain this afternoon?
Tomorrow.
See, an ideal meteorologist, she has no idea, she dodges the question. You see how good that is? Now, you go up there and be a meteorologist. And especially as you have such a clear idea of the map, you see. Now stand right in the middle and face the customers downstage here. That's good. And let's put on number 24. Now, number 24, which is a single Fresnel light. Now it can be a single Fresnel light, or it even can be a fairly powerful floodlight. It doesn't matter. The thing is that you want a center light that is right in the center of the field that you're going to illuminate. Now I will show you why. If you will look at the meteorologist right here now, you will see that she has her shadow directly behind her. Okay? Now would the meteorologist be good enough to turn to, okay, the Pacific Ocean, I'll buy that, the shadow is still behind her. Would you walk rather slowly over toward Salt Lake City? Okay, fine. Now, you see the shadow has stayed behind her. It is not objectionable. How would you feel about visiting Maryland? She's pretty good, you see. She knows where all these places are. Now, that's quite good, you see. Fine. Now, let's come back to the Mississippi River where you were before. Yes, that's good. All right, now, you see, this is fine. She looks all right there, except that she's flat. And what we need in here to get a decent picture, obviously, is a backlight. Right? Now, where do you put a backlight? You can't put backlights along the top of the map here, because if you do, they come straight down and accomplish nothing whatsoever. So we've got to have another way. So now let us see if we can achieve this, and we need all kinds of help here. The energetic and kindly gentleman here, Scott will do one on the other side. We better take the vice president's window out of there, and we might take the espadistra out of here too. Right? That's fine. Now, we need one with the barn doors, the big barn doors vertical, which we already have here. And you're all right there, so you got them, right? Now we want to set that so it doesn't strike the background at all, but is open downstage. Well, see if you can open the both barn doors a little bit before you go. That's good. And let's open the other one just a little bit. Don't hit the flat. Well, that's pretty good. Can you do the same thing from this side? Now, you've got to get upstage more. That's it. Now, keep it off. That's good. Now you see, we have, don't go away, and now you see we have the meteorologist modeled. Now, it's not bad where she is in the middle, but let's ask the meteorologist to move very slowly toward Oregon. Wow, stay right there for a minute. Now you see, when she got to that point, she began to burn up because she's walking right into the light. Agree? So what we want to do now is we want to introduce a traveling key mat. Now, trying to do that on these little lights here is probably going to be a bit of a chore because there is no facility for doing it. I'm going to hope that maybe gaffer tape will do that. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to introduce a traveling mat into the beam. Now, a traveling mat is a very scientific thing, as you can see here. I have made up a couple of these in advance, save time. What we have is a single layer of screen, a double layer, a triple layer, and a piece of diffusion material, which is laid out to be approximately half the height of the lens or half the height of the opening of your lamp. Okay? Have I confused everybody out of all existence? No, okay. Let's let the meteorologist go back to the center there. Now, maybe you can anchor that to those side barn doors with a little bit of scotch tape. Do you think maybe? give you another piece at no additional cost. Maybe you can strap that in there. And it should be in a position where it's just covering about half of the opening. You see, about like that?
It's in the bottom here.
Yeah, the diffusion material in the bottom. Diffusion material down the upper, other way, that's it, turn it over.
Will it burn up in that close?
I don't think so. It does, I'll make another one. Now, unfortunately, you're covering more than half of the thing there. Right? That's why I think you better try putting it on the edge of the barn doors. And then you can get it half in the beam, okay? Are you willing to try the same idea?
Use clothespins, can we?
Hmm?
We use clothespins, can't we?
Well, if you can get it to hold there, fine, but I don't know what you're fastening it to.
I just rolled this in.
Okay, that's probably going to work it all right. He's doing it fairly successfully with a clothespin. Would it work all right for you?
We have it. We just may burn up.
Okay. Well, let's find out what happens. We got lots of gaffer tape. That isn't a problem. All right, now, set them as you had them before so that it doesn't touch the background but does light the meteorologist. Okay, now. All right, now, at the center there, the meteorologist is a model. She has a backlight. Let's turn around and look at Delaware, if you please. You will know, don't move, just stay in the Mississippi, but look at Delaware. At that point, you see she's got a key light and a backlight, which is not bad. Can we widen out the camera shot a little bit here so that we cover the whole map background here? And then we let her move around and you can see what happens. That's the idea? Fine. Now. Okay, now let's let the meteorologist walk all the way over to South Carolina while you're aimed in that general direction. Okay, now let's turn around and very slowly move back all the way to California, the general direction of Fresno. That's pretty good. Now don't look upstage because all meteorologists hate maps and they just have them there because management said they had to. You notice that when she moved there, that light stayed pretty even now, right? I thank the meteorologist very much. I'll need you again in a minute, but not right now. See what happens when you are way over here. I am in the clear portion of that light. As I move along here, I'm now in the first diffusion, the first screen, the second screen, the third screen, and the diffusion. Does the same thing in the opposite direction here. So the light stays fairly even. Now this was quick, and I don't know what we accomplished. Just for fun, let's find out. Oh boy, I'm going to bring you with me to put screens in. You know that varied, only 10-foot candles all the way across? Can be done, right? Now this traveling mat technique is very valuable for no end of things, and we're going to take a minute to discuss some of them. But this is one way of doing the thing. Now suppose that this person, instead of being a meteorologist, has either a monitor set into the background or has a projection device set in there on which you're going to show slides showing the profit and loss thing. Now, how do you cope with that screen? How do you keep light off of it, right? Keeping light off of something like that, it can be framed around, it can be masked, you can use a bunch of lights. It's a difficult way of doing it. Why don't you get something or other, which is the same size, give or take a bit, as the same proportion at least, as the projection. Let's say that your slide is this shape and size. Now you're going to project it up there. It's going to be bigger, of course. Now here you need either some string and a ladder and get up on the grid, or you need a sentry stand, which you can put things wherever you want to, or you need a tall person who's willing to stand there and impersonate a sentry stand. Okay? Now, will you see if you can find the location and the beam coming from that. Yeah. Now, naturally, that would be close up to the light and up high because you'd be making a bigger shadow, right? And if you do that, the screen is now totally dark. No light on it at all. But you've got that cross-lighting. And you see, you can see the gentleman who is impersonating the century stand. You can see him perfectly. He's modeled and everything. He can walk right across there without hurting anything at all. Right? He plays along here like this, and he's in light, and there isn't any problem of any kind whatsoever. Quick and dirty way of handling monitors in the set, handling projection. Thank you very much. Now, the problem of projection in a set is one